Well, in 2007 in Cleveland, Johanna Orozco was raped and shot in the jaw by her ex-boyfriend, Juan Ruiz. Coverage of the shooting inspired new legislation in Ohio targeting teen-on-teen violence. It also inspired a play that opens this Friday on the KU campus. Joining us now are Rachel Dissel. She's a Cleveland journalist who covered the story. Rachel, good morning. Nice to have you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
And Talalak Rivas, who wrote a play inspired by her reporting. Talalak, nice to have you too. Good morning.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Rachel, how did you find out about Johanna? How did that come about?
At the time, I covered the criminal justice beat here in Cleveland. And yeah. when Johanna was shot, I was one of the reporters that kind of responded to the story and immediately was trying to figure out, you know, how this happened, her ex-boyfriend was able to get out of juvenile detention and stalk her and harass her and then later shoot her.
So, Rachel, you thought right away there was a significance to this story that merited further attention from you as the reporter here.
Yeah, it seemed like there was more to it. And at the time, there wasn't a lot of conversation in the Cleveland area or really even across the country about teen dating violence and that it could be very dangerous, you know, much like adult relationships, I think. You know, youth relationships weren't really treated with the same seriousness, especially if there were problems. And, you know, a young woman like Johanna couldn't even get a protection order against the person who had attacked her.
Mm-hmm. Well, Talalak, how did you wind up deciding to write a play about this girl's experiences?
Well, I initially read the series that Rachel had written and back in 2008, and I was... you know, I remained kind of haunted by the story as I continued my directorial career. And as soon as I was, I landed in Iowa, a lot of my focus had turned to playwriting, and I was looking for opportunities to update the narrative of Latinos in the United States. And Johanna's story just kept coming back to me because we're so acclimated to stories about Latinos in Los Angeles or New York or in Texas, and I wanted to kind of explore the Latino experience in the city other than those three metropolitan areas. And
yeah.
So I wanted to so I contacted Rachel and Johanna to see if we could discuss adapting it for the stage.
You know, Rachel, what really struck me about this entire thing is obviously this is an incident, and these two had met each other's families. They've been dating for years. How does something like this happen? What's your take on it after having invested as much time as you have in this story?
Well, I think that that's kind of why it was important to tell the story.
Yeah.
Because people, you know, they tend to think something is, you know, random or just happens without anybody knowing it's going to happen. And part of the story, you know, that I wrote was really Johanna going back and kind of reflecting upon the signs that had been there. How she either reacted or didn't react, or people in her family reacted or didn't react to them. And I think that, you know, she started to realize that this happens a lot among, you know, teenage girls, teenage boys in relationships where they don't realize when things are getting into dangerous territory. And I think that was really part of her recovery, is looking at that trajectory and realizing, you know, I was a really smart kid. I got good grades. You know, I was in the theater group. I did all these things, yet this still happened to me. I still ended up in this situation. And that's why I think she felt it was really important not only to tell her story in the newspaper, but then to continue telling her story to high school students around the region, around the country. And then, you know, as much of an investment as it was, you know, letting it be told on the stage as well to have an even wider audience that could connect with it.
You know, Rachel, it always seems to me as a fellow journalist that we're always looking for these parts of society, these stories that largely have not been told, not enough light has been shined on them. And this strikes me as yet another one, this idea that domestic violence among teenagers is big a problem as it is. This is one more sort of new, I didn't think there'd be any more areas left in society we could still shine a light on, but you have found one here. It's a significant problem.
Yeah, I think that, you know, maybe just the proper attention wasn't being paid. And you're right, there's lots of problems, you know, in society. But often I see someone like Johanna as a prism. You know, we can tell her story and we can tell it so thoroughly that people can kind of connect with it and not turn away. One of the things that she was very strong about in telling the story was that she wanted all of it told. She didn't want us to simplify it or make her look very innocent and sweet and, you know, as if she, you know, didn't know what was going on in her relationship. She really wanted people to see all angles of it so that they could understand it and connect with it and see how it could be, you know, them or be their friend or be a classmate of theirs and then learn from that and then be able to react.
Yeah. You know, Tlaloc, I understand you're directing KU's production, and I should just point out it's going to be open Friday and run through October 25th at the Crafton Pryor Theater on the KU campus. More information, go to kutheater.com. How do you help the students deal with the serious themes that are involved in this play?
Well, I think it touches upon one of the great things about translating the story, adapting the story for the stage, is that the theater can be a venue for being a voice for the voiceless. It's what the arts can do. Secondly, I think what we could do is the theater is actually, I believe, a conversation that takes place between the actors and the audience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not a, there's an unspoken dialogue. And so the play and the experience of watching the play can really illuminate all of the issues that are touched upon, not only in Rachel and Joanna's story, but in this production as well. The students have been extraordinary. They've gone above and beyond, really researching all of the articles related to Joanna and what Rachel has written and the, you know, the surrounding issues and laws that were in place at the time. So it was, I didn't have to do much preparation. They were already really passionate about it, especially when we're dealing with sexual harassment on college campuses, also sexual assault. So it's an issue that's still very much in the forefront of their minds as they are continuing to pursue higher education.
I'm wondering, Tlaloc, how many of your students could relate in a very personal way to what this play deals with, or maybe, if not directly, with the same sort of incident, but incidents that are similar to this?
That, you know, some of the students alluded to experiences in their lives that weren't exactly what Joanna went through, but certainly, you know, they had been in, you know, certain relationships that had gone too far in certain aspects, especially in terms of emotional abuse. I recall students auditioning for the show, having read the play before I had arrived on the campus, and saying that this play made me weep because I went through that, or in some ways I experienced that, and or they had a friend go through that experience, and that was a kind of extraordinary, because here we have a young Latina from Cleveland, and we have students from every shade and stripe and cultural background economic status come forward and say, you know, this play is so important to do. I'm so grateful that you're doing it here. And it goes to what Joanna says, which is like, it doesn't matter where you're from and where you come from, whether you're rich or poor, domestic violence can touch anyone at any time.
If you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date. We're talking about a play opening up this Friday on the KU campus, Joanna Facing Forward. It's about a story, about a 2007 story in Cleveland. Joanna Orozco was raped and shot in the jaw by her ex-boyfriend, Juan Ruiz. This play deals with the issues surrounding all this. Tlaloc, you titled this play Joanna Facing Forward. Why?
Oh, well, you know, it was a brilliant title that Rachel had created for the series. So
That was the title of the series, Rachel?
That was the title of the series,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I would ask Rachel where she got the I think you told me, but I don't recall exactly where the title came from.
Well, I think we struggled to come up with a title, as we often do when we work on something for a long time. But in the end, I think that a big part of, you know, Joanna's story is how she was able to kind of overcome what happened and find, you know, what resiliency meant for her, how to move forward in her life. You know, that paired with the fact that some of the most devastating injuries were to her face, you know, I think is what gave us the title. But it works on a number of levels, and I'm proud to see, you know, the play being given the same name. And I think that students and faculty and folks in the community there, when they come see it, they will realize the power of it. I've been kind of watching from afar at the sets and stuff, and it was very powerful when it was put on in Cleveland, and to have the opportunity to come see it there is going to be amazing, and see if a completely different audience connects with it the same way as they did here.
Let's go to some phone calls here. Jonathan from Independence. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
I just had a quick question about the different mediums to get stories like this out there, because I'm no way downplaying the importance of theater and what it can do, but it feel like it kind of hits a specific demographic that's interested in that particular medium. And are there other ways of getting these stories out there to the people that need to hear this type of story and maybe kind of open their eyes to what's going on in their lives? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. What about using other mediums as you look at all this, Talalik?
Well, I mean, the story can certainly easily be done either through novelization or perhaps film or television. But one of the unique aspects of doing it in a college campus is that we're competing with other media forms, with younger audiences. And in a certain way, doing it for the theater and doing it for the stage allows us to be able to produce these works on campuses at high schools, because those are the direct conduits to the students themselves. So they have, we're not competing against Netflix or, you know, network television or cable television in that way. They're on the campus, it's right there. And it's a communal experience that they can have by attending the theater. And that's what makes theater really unique.
You know, Rachel, you spent nearly 100 hours with Johanna, including the 13-hour surgery that was undertaken to create a new jaw for her. How did you communicate while she couldn't talk to you during that time?
As people will see in the play, we used a kind of like a whiteboard. So she would write questions or answers out for me, and I would talk to her, and she would communicate with me that way. She also would write in journals when she was going through things and thinking about things that she then gave to me later on to read. And we also, this was quite a while ago, so it doesn't seem new now, but we would communicate via text message a lot, which got quite costly. But, you know, it was a different way of communicating, but I had to go with what worked for her, and both because of, you know, the physical limitations she had at the time, but also because she had, you know, undergone this really big trauma, and I had to make sure that I was being calm and patient with her as a reporter as to how and when she was able to talk about different things that happened. So I kind of let her lead the way on that.
That's the voice of Rachel Dissel, a Cleveland journalist who covered this story. We're also joined this morning by Talalik Rivas, who wrote a play inspired by her reporting, Johanna, Facing Forward. Talalik, the play was largely written from Rachel's articles. Did you talk to anybody else to create the final piece?
Johanna also shared some of the journals that she kept while she was dating Juan Ruiz. And I had opportunities to meet with some members of her family, as well as members of the Cleveland community who rallied around her throughout the process of her recovery.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, Johanna didn't talk to you for a while during the course of all this because she was scared that the media and you would wind up portraying the Latino community in a negative light. How did you convince her, you know, to continue working with you throughout all that?
I think we had an ongoing dialogue about what things she might be nervous about and what things her family might be concerned about. And I think that from my experiences, and remember, things are kind of maybe truncated or you know, portrayed in the play slightly differently than we experience them, just for the effect that, you know, you have to get a long time onto a stage in just a couple hours. But I think if her family had concerns, you know, I would hear them out. But really, it was Johanna in the end who wanted all of the things that were the truth to be in the play. And, you know, we just had to take time and work through those things and let her, you know, air concerns and let her family air concerns, and then come back to our original purpose, which was to tell a story that was, you know, first off true, and secondly, you know, believable for people so that they would identify with her as a character and understand what she was going through.
Did you feel, Rachel, like you were losing the story at one point? Was there that journalistic panic that maybe I can relate to a little bit, that the story was getting away from you?
You know, I never really doubted that Joanna wanted to do the story and that the story would happen. I think it's always just the worry and panic of how and when and all the pieces kind of coming together. We were dealing with real time, and we were dealing with an actual trial that was going to come up, and we didn't know whether it would be a trial or whether it would be just a guilty plea. We didn't know when, you know, there'd be a sentencing if that happened. And so we were dealing with a lot of moving parts in terms of the story, but then she was also dealing with that personally, you know, and so one of our concerns was, you know, we don't want to write the story before some of these things happen and she has a chance to deal with them.
Yeah.
And react and sort it all out.
Talalak, you start the play with the shooting and then you concentrate on the surgery and the recovery. Why did you go about it that way?
That's a question I keep going. A lot of people ask me. The play went through several drafts. I mean, it's not. People keep asking me if it was a documentary play, and I said no. It did go through a documentary phase in the writing of it, but and so the part of it was, you know, it started out very chronological to, you know, to go to mm-hmm. Joanna's youth, and but in the end, I found that the best way to tell a story was through memory. And with Joanna, with starting the play with the shot, I wanted to plunge the audience into the experience of what we're all about to undergo in terms of her recovery. And secondly, it gave me the artistic license to allow for me to go back and forth in time and allow Joanna to go back in memory to have, she has conversations with her father. Before he died, and she has experiences and nightmares with Juan while she's in recovery, which I felt was, you know, kind of important to mm-hmm. to kind of address that, you know, PTSD aspect of being a domestic violence survivor. So it's so being able to have that fluidity allowed me to kind of start there and then kind of move backwards and forwards as needed.
Now, this is a pretty strong young woman, Rachel. Just 2 months after the attack, she goes to her senior prom. How did she pull that off?
Well, I think it was definitely something that she was nervous about doing and was unsure that it was going to happen. But I think that really, you know, there's several of those moments along the way, along her, you know, trajectory of recovery that kind of foreshadow where she, you know, has ended up today, you know, moments where she faced something and could have decided, I just can't do this. And ultimately decided, I have to do this. And that's just one of those moments, I think, that shows her push to move forward in life.
Has she seen the play?
She did see the play in Cleveland.
And?
I think she's tremendously proud of it. I think that she did talk later about how difficult it is to watch, because it's when it's something that happened in your life, it really affects you emotionally and kind of triggers a lot of those same feelings. But at the same time, she feels so strongly about the message getting out there that she was willing to kind of go through that.
Well, Joanna Facing Forward opens Friday, runs through October 25th on the KU campus. More information, kutheater.com. Rachel Dissel, Talalak Rivas, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much for having us.